The other scripture this morning is another very familiar scripture. I was so lucky I got to preach on these two wonderful scriptures today. This scripture is the story of the raising of Lazarus, and it is a really long scripture. I'm not going to read the entire thing because it would take forever, so I'm just going to remind you of the first part where Jesus is off with healing and doing his ministry, and he gets word that his friend Lazarus is sick. And he says, he's not really sick, he's just sleeping, he'll be fine. And so Jesus goes on about his business. And then a few days later, he finds out that Lazarus has died. So he rushes back to be with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, who has died. And when he gets back, he discovered he'd been dead for 4 days and already in the tomb. And Martha comes to him and says, oh, I'm so sorry that you weren't here. And he gives a line about how the people will be in the resurrection and the dead. And then if you remember Mary and Martha, the one that works in the kitchen and the one that comes out and pleads with Jesus, Mary shows up, the more emotional sister. And this is where the story starts for today. It is found in John 11, and we're going to start in, what verse did I say? I can't remember. Well, you'll figure it out. It's halfway through the story. Listen for the word of God in John 11. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, came and said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Then Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, when I was a pastor back in Minnesota, I was asked to preach a sermon at a More Light conference on National Coming Out Day in October. If you're not familiar with this term that's used by a lot of gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual folks to describe the process of revealing their sexual identity to friends and family, and before one comes out, a person keeps secrets inside and is considered to be in the closet. So the idea that a gay person comes out of the closet to reveal himself or herself and to reveal his or her true nature. For some people, coming out is really easy, but for others, it's a long and difficult lifelong process, and some never completely come out. But coming out is a very significant process for gay and lesbian folks. Well, at any rate, I was asked to preach a sermon on coming out, and I thought about it a minute and said, yes, because I like a challenge. My first step when I'm preaching is always to pull out the Bible and to see what the Bible has to say about a topic, because I think that's the most important thing we can do as Christians. I was a little reluctant because I knew the Bible wasn't particularly gay-friendly, and I was not sure what I would find there, but I logged into my computer concordance, and I bravely typed in the word, come out. And guess what? It's a very common term in the Bible. There are over 100 references to coming out in the Bible. I was shocked. Now, of course, most of those references are kind of trivial. The words came out of his mouth, the king comes out of the palace. But to my surprise, there were many, many references of very significant coming out processes in the Bible. In Leviticus, it describes the process a person goes through. It was a man at that time. A person goes through, he goes into a little room with a fountain and he washes himself ritualistically and gets prepared to go into the temple. And when he's finished washing himself, guess what he does? He comes out and goes into the temple. And over again through the Bible, you will remember these references. The nation of Israel is described as coming out of slavery in the land of Egypt. And you remember that famous old passage in Isaiah predicting the coming of Jesus? A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. And over again through the New Testament, whenever Jesus meets someone that's possessed by demons, what does he tell those demons but to come out? But the most important of these passages, I think, is the one we read today. How many times have you heard the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead and never realized that what Jesus stands up and proclaims very loudly to Lazarus is to come out? This is a downright amazing story when you think about it. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were some of Jesus' closest friends in the Gospel of John. The book describes Lazarus as the man Jesus loved over and over again. So the sisters sent word that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus kind of blew it off. He said, it's not really that big a deal, and he went on about his business. And when we finally get word again, he finds out that Lazarus has died. So he rushes back, and Martha comes out to greet him. And in good Martha fashion, she's very stoic and religious about the whole thing, talking about heaven and the resurrection day. But then Mary comes out, and it's a different story. She's angry with him. I can just hear her crying now. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. What took you so long? She's beating him on the chest, crying bitterly, beating her friend Jesus, asking him why he didn't come help. Now, this is the point where the story gets really amazing. We kind of expect Jesus in this point to pat Mary on the head and to say, everything will be all right, like so many self-righteous pastors we've heard over the years. But no. The Bible says Jesus was greatly disturbed and deeply moved. And then we have that famous two-word verse of the Bible that I learned in kindergarten as the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Think about it a minute. Here is the Lord of the universe, the Savior of humankind, standing out there on the street, weeping with a bunch of wailing women. I mean, here's the most powerful force. He knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he's here in the middle of the street, openly crying with a bunch of hysterical women. That just wasn't heard of in that day. So, Jesus understands their pain. But then, Jesus walks up to the tomb and regains his composure and demands that the stone be rolled away. The ever practical Martha objects, and I think rightly so. He'd been dead for 4 days, and in a time when there was no embalming, the decomposition process had gotten well underway in that hot climate. So she warns, there will be a stench. I bet. But Jesus has returned to his confident mode. And here he demands of Lazarus, come out of the tomb. And to everyone's amazement, that stinking body stands up and walks out with the mummy-like bindings falling off of him. Then, after demanding that he come out of that dark and stinking hole, Jesus looks at his friend, smiles at him, a man full of new life, and Jesus insists, unbind him and let him go free. Amazing. Can you see why this is such an important coming out story? Here is a man trapped in a horrible place, quite literally dead in a dark, cold, and literally stinking hole. And all of those around him are standing there crying in pain, weeping. And the Lord of life comes here and joins in the weeping. He recognizes the pain. He knows how horrible this place is. He acknowledges that life is full of suffering and people do get buried in dark holes. And after all, in the next week, this man is going to be nailed to a cross and buried in a tomb himself. He knows about pain, and he shows it by weeping with them. Christian life is not all cheery happiness and sweet-smelling roses. Sometimes we get in a dark, smelly cave. But then Jesus demands, come out. Come out of that place of dark death. Come out of weeping and depression. Come out of that stinking, dirty, awful place. Come out of the deceit and the lying and the fear. Come out into the light of day with friends and family. Get oneself unbound and be free. That is what Jesus does for Lazarus. That is what Jesus does for us. We can come out and be free. Now, you may think that this doesn't necessarily apply to you. If you're not gay or lesbian, you don't have to come out like that. But my friends, that's not true. Every one of us has some deep, dark corner of a closet hidden somewhere in our lives. And Jesus demands that we come out. In my church in Minnesota, I once had a parishioner come talk to me in my office. She said she had some personal things she needed to tell me, and we needed to keep it private. Her daughter was in my youth group, and I felt that, I figured she was going to tell me something that I really needed to know to help her daughter. So I started imagining all the things, that, diseases or death or something horrible that was going on with her daughter. And when the woman finally came to my office, we had the usual small talk, and then we got around to the business at hand. She told me that her husband and she were getting divorced. And she thought I needed to know to help her daughter deal with it in private. She said she and her daughter were having a really hard time dealing with the ramifications of her husband moving out, but under no circumstances was anyone into the church to know this. This really surprised me. And I asked her why she needed to keep it such a secret. Weren't people going to find out anyway? And her answer was shocking. She insisted that the church was not a place where people aired their dirty laundry. She just knew that people in that church would no longer speak to her or to her daughter if they knew that her marriage was breaking up. She thought she needed to put on a brave face and keep it a secret. She needed to keep her pain to herself. She needed to hide in that dark closet all by herself. But Jesus demands, Lazarus, come out. We can be buried in a dark tomb of secrecy, afraid to share our lives with our Christian brothers and sisters. We can feel forced into a sealed closet, hiding who we really are as gay, lesbian, transgender, or bisexual folks. We can also let losing a job or a failing relationship destroy our self-esteem. We can let a bad grade in school or a poor evaluation at work send us into deep darkness. We can get buried in depression, unable to see the joy in life any longer. We can let the darkness of fear overtake us, too afraid to try new things, to take risks, to make things better. Sometimes we can let disease or deaths of friends and relatives destroy us and put us into a tomb of grief before our time. Sometimes we can keep secrets and be forced to put on a happy face, wrapped up and bound like a mummy. We can be buried in a deep, dark, nasty place. Our lives can turn into something that really stink. And if you're like me, it happens all too often. But then, our friend Jesus comes to us. Jesus weeps with us. And then Jesus stands before us, tears running down his cheeks, and he says, come out. And we can come out. We can come out into the light, into the hope, into the joy that Jesus offers to us. We can be unbound. We can be free. Ezekiel walked into that valley of dry bones, a place of death and pain, not unlike Lazarus's tomb. He looked at all those dead bones, a sea of humanity dead and gone, and he asked, can these bones live again? And in that dry, lifeless, awful valley, that place in life where there is nothing but death and pain, we ask, can we live again? And the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and he said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And the breath came into them, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude, and they lived. My friends, after we weep, we must come out of our tombs. We must rise up from the valleys of dry bones, our valleys of death. We must live. Let your dry bones live. Come out of that deep, dark, stinking place. Let Jesus unbound you. Come out. Come out. Come out in hope and joy and live again. Amen.